This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
Let's begin with the Western Conference Finals last night. Lakers had a 2-0 series lead. Could the Nuggets crawl back into the series? If they were going to do so, they had to win last night. And if they were going to win last night, you know what it comes down to. You've got to somehow stymie LeBron and AD and then have Jamal Murray and Jokic go off. They got part one not done, but part two was better than that. And the Nuggets do indeed take game three last night. Did they just make this a series again? It is where we begin your cold open.
There's the horn. The Denver Nuggets stave off a fourth quarter run by the LA Lakers, and the Nuggets are right back in this thing, baby. Denver wins game number three by a final of 114-106.
When you dig yourself a hole like that, you know, every shot that they make, every shot that we miss, you know, is, you know, feels like the game is collapsing. So, you know, we played, you know, some pretty good ball in the fourth quarter, but those first 36 minutes hurt us, obviously.
Obviously, as a team, we were up big in that fourth quarter. We allowed them to make it a game. They went to their zone. They turned up the pressure. And I believe we had 9 turnovers in the fourth quarter alone, which can't happen.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Nuggets radio on the call. That was LeBron James after a triple-double last night in a loss, and that was Denver head coach Michael Malone in a win. The Nuggets had to have it last night. You can't fall behind down 3-0. So that was the series last night, and so I'm not surprised that Denver played well and got the W because this is what they've been doing all postseason long. They have found ways when their backs were against the wall to get it done. They have found ways when it all seemed lost to make sure they had a little bit of life breathing. And so, whether it was series number one against the Jazz or series number two last outing to just get here, down 3-1 against the Clippers, they have fought and clawed their way back because they've got as much heart as anybody in the NBA postseason. So not surprising they found a way to win last night. What I did think was surprising was that they were able to survive a 19-2 Lakers run. And you heard both LeBron and Malone bring this up. The Lakers went on a 19-2 run of the fourth quarter. And the only reason the Nuggets were able to survive that was because they had built such a big lead. They had been up by as much as 20 in this game. I think that right there is a key for the Nuggets, is that they were able to build a huge lead. Jokic was hitting some remarkable circus-like shots, and Jamal Murray was hitting from all over the place. They built a big lead. They gave themselves a cushion. And then even when the Lakers had that remarkable run, the Nuggets found a way to steady the waters and make some big shots and end up winning this game at the end. And it was Jamal Murray who put his foot on the gas and foot on the throats of the Lakers. Murray's shot making and passing in the final 3 minutes of this game was incredible.
And this is where Murray, to me, is putting his stamp on the playoffs and also his place in this league, is that Murray is no longer just kind of a volume scorer for a team that everybody ignores in Denver. Some people heard of Jamal Murray coming into this season, coming into this bubble. Most casual fans might have had some type of idea about it, but not really have watched him very consistently. And what you're seeing in this postseason is Murray is growing into not only an incredible shot maker from anywhere on the floor, but also he wants the big shot. And he's delivering when it matters most. And he is becoming the guy that you've got to run two defenders at just to try to slow him down. And if he catches and shoots, if he catches and releases anywhere around the three-point arc, you just assume it's going in, especially late in games. Murray has elevated his reputation and his game and his notoriety in this postseason. It did it again. Last night when they needed big shots, they look to Murray, and boy, are they lucky they have signed him to an extension before this postseason, because he has made himself a lot of money. He's going to be in Denver for the next couple of seasons, and then after that, he may become a free agent. We'll see. But Murray is putting himself in the conversation as one of the great instant scorers in this NBA. Last night, 28 points. 12 assists, 8 rebounds. And even though the Lakers went in a 19-2 run, my goodness, the Nuggets still found a way to get this thing done. That line that Jamal Murray had last night for a conference finals game, 28-12-8, there's only 6 guys that ever did that before Jamal Murray last night in a conference finals game. Listen to these names. Russell Westbrook, Clyde Drexler, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan. That's the group Jamal Murray joins with 28, 12, and 8 boards last night in a conference finals game. Some of the greatest players ever. And if you're the Lakers, you've got to be a little disappointed this morning, because while you did put up a fight and you went on that big run of the fourth quarter, you got 57 points out of LeBron and AD. That should be enough to win a basketball game. 57 points out of the two of those guys. And then the rest of the team had fewer than that, 49. LeBron really didn't get to the free throw line either, so he's going to have to work on that going into game number 4. And the Lakers had a chance to put this series out of sight and could not do it. Not surprisingly, the Nuggets have life. It's what they do. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. We've said it all postseason long as well. But the combination of the Joker and Jamal Murray gives the Denver Nuggets a chance for the next couple of years to have a nucleus and a core that can get to the NBA Finals. Those two guys are just sensational, and they were both rising to the occasion last night. The shot that Jokic made before halftime, where he is kind of falling away, defender draped all over him, arm in his face, and can kind of chuck it up from about 18 feet and swish it. It felt like it scraped the top of the arena. You know, last night, Michael Malone said, "We've got two superstars." And Malone said, "Now I know every night what I'm getting from Jamal. Last year, we knew what we were getting from Nikola, but what kind of game would Jamal have? We didn't know. That's no longer the case. We've got two superstars in Nikola and Jamal." And I think that says it all, Mraz, about the Nuggets, is that Jamal Murray's turned into a consistent dynamic scorer. Every game of this postseason, basically, he's been impossible to defend. And Jokic has been that type of star the last two seasons. When you combine the two inside and out, okay, there's LeBron and AD. Obviously, there's Harden and Westbrook.
There's Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You go down the list. The double superstars are so crucial in today's NBA. I think Denver's proving in this postseason they've got those two guys.
Yeah, and for a team like Denver, too, they're not going to lure free agents before growing their own guys. So to groom both of those guys, I think, is so important. And for more context on where Murray lies, I thought the most fascinating stat is that he now has 8 clutch three-pointers in his postseason. Only other player to do that in the last 20 years, Steph Curry in 2016. So that's the kind of territory he's already put himself in by game 3 of the conference finals. And, I mean, you're telling me he's not going to have any more clutch three-pointers, whether it's the rest of this series or if they're lucky enough to make the NBA finals. He's now in Steph Curry's splash brother territory en route to a potential NBA finals. That's the kind of player he has been, which is just incredible. It's remarkable. And like you said, I thought of this too. It's amazing that they already locked him up, because could you imagine the power he would have on a franchise like Denver if he wasn't locked up long term by now?
I think about Miami with Jimmy Butler, and Pat Riley's been kind of open about trying to acquire another superstar to team with Jimmy Butler. And if Jamal Murray was available this offseason, he's exactly the type of player that the Heat would try to get, trade away tons of pieces, and most of us would say, well, the Heat now have enough to win an NBA championship. I mean, he's now at that level where, kind of like a Klay Thompson, you can't defend him from outside the arc, especially if there's another star on the floor that you've got to contend with, which is what happens in Golden State. And if he starts getting hot, forget it. There's just absolutely no way you're going to slow him down. He's at that next rarefied air. He was phenomenal last night yet again, especially the late game situations and heroics in this postseason. Denver cooking last night, and they get into a 2-1 series in the Western Conference Final. When we come back here on the show, we teased this for you yesterday. We have a sound check, which is devoted entirely to the voice of the Yankees, John Sterling, and his partner in crime, Susan Waldman.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
It's also an Ask the Pros Day, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. You could use the hashtag Ask the Pros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so this was a brainstorm of ours yesterday. Mraz, as you had mentioned, you went out to make a run for Formula, I believe it was,
yes,
on Monday night. You were in the car for approximately 20 minutes. You got to listen to John and Susan, our favorite radio broadcast team in Major League Baseball. And it occurred to you that basically there were 4 or 5 different incidents within the 20 minutes that we could play in soundcheck. And I said, you know what? Let's just do one entire soundcheck devoted just to John and Susan.
Oh, yeah.
So let's start here. How did you cull this? How did you break this down to where there's only 3, considering you said there was a million instances there that you could have used?
So remember, mind you, this was only 20 minutes, so I can't even tell you what happened on the 3 hours. I can't even tell you what happened in the last week of 3-hour games. So I just went back to the audio file of the last 20 minutes, and I picked and I discovered what I thought would be the 3 best for the show. Sure, there were other 2 that didn't make the list, but much like the 12 DAs, DA, you got to have a vote, and you got to figure it out, and you got to dwindle it down.
And quality candidates are going to fall by the wayside, just like the 12 DAs of Christmas. It's never easy to be able to go through that much radio greatness, and so we'll do that right now. This is John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network on why he thinks next year should be a wondrous season of celebration for the Yankees. Bear in mind that this is during the play-by-play of the game.
Oh, you know, Susan, I haven't told you this.
What?
And it's nothing that great. And but I'd love you to react to it and tell me what some of your thoughts are. Susan's very bright, and she'll come up with better thoughts than I have. And I'll do it right after the 3-1 to judge.
Okay.
Shoemaker holds a set about belt high, and the 3-1 is grounded foul. You know, next year is 2021. Can't wait for it to get here. And that would be 100 years when the Yankees first made the playoffs. They won the pennant, obviously. Then, those days, you had to win the pennant. That was 1921. And I think the Yankees ought to do something, I don't know what, to commemorate that. I mean, that's 100 years of excellence. Think of it. The Yankees have been a great team for 100 years, my goodness. Now, here's the 3-2 to Judge.
Home run.
The best part about when John and Susan get into these conversations in 2020 is that without fans in attendance, it really does sound like they're just at like the turn of a clubhouse on a golf course at a retirement community, and they're just talking. Without anybody in back of them, it just feels like, you know what, there should be sprinklers going off, they should be enjoying some type of turkey club, and just talking the day away. Is this a good idea that next year the Yankees would celebrate 100 years since they made the World Series but lost the World Series? Or should they wait for the 100-year anniversary of when they won their first World Series?
Well, this is about the playoffs, so it's about just 100 years of making the playoffs. And he said they've been great for 100 years. They had some dark years in there, John.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the last years of Mickey Mantle were all that great back in the 60s, early 70s. They went through some lean times. They didn't win a World Series. They didn't get to a World Series between 81 and 96. I don't know if we can say that for 100 straight years. I mean, for the bulk of those 100 years, they've been very good. But that is the first idea from John Sir. I'm like, okay, well, let's move on. Here is John and Susan trying to figure out what happened when one of the players dropped a ball in the Yankees and Blue Jays game, and you will note that they are not live at this game because they bring it up multiple times. Let's play the clip.
Pitch. Breaking ball is hit in the air to center. Hicks underneath, cutting toward right center, and the ball drops. I guess they didn't see the ball, and it rolls away, and Guerrero is heading toward third, and there he is at third base. I have no idea what happened. We're in our broadcast booth at Yankee Stadium doing the game off a monitor. Hicks was there, Judge was there, and the ball just dropped.
All right, let's see if they do that. We're at the mercy of whoever is using the camera. So we didn't see that. All we saw was Hicks. Hicks is going over it. Judge is on the right, and looks like Hicks just stopped.
My father-in-law likes to eat dinner at like 6 o'clock sharp. Okay, 6 o'clock sharp. And if we are at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, forget it. He gets real temperamental. And I feel like he would have a conversation with John and Susan about being at the mercy of other people. We're at the mercy of the camera crew. I'm at the mercy of the rest of the family when they want to eat it. 7 o'clock in the middle of the night. They want to eat in the middle of the night. I'm at the mercy of them. I'd like to know, Bogues, I mean, what do you think they're trying to figure out? The ball just dropped. I'm guessing it was just a misplay that one guy called off the other guy and didn't get it.
Right. That's my question here. They're treating this as if it's like an unsolved mystery. They're not in Tampa Bay. There's no catwalk. A dead bird didn't drop from the sky along with the ball and its flight. Two things could have happened. They lost the ball in the lights, or they both said, I got it, and neither one of them got it. It's not that hard to figure out. You could be in Nova Scotia or Phoenix or the Pacific Northwest with that game in Buffalo and still know maybe kind of what happened, yet they're angry and perplexed by this.
And here's the problem. By me listening to this in the car, remember, I listened to this in real time. I still don't know what happened. I never saw it on TV. I still don't understand what happened. Did somebody make an error? Did somebody kick it off their feet? I don't know what happened.
It was the lights, apparently.
And you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of any time there's some kind of obstacle with the show or doing something, and Diego's, or your kids say no for an answer. This was them just completely giving up. They did not even want to try on figuring out what happened. That was it. Anything. You know what? We're going to make an error, and I'm blaming it on the fact that we're in a studio, and that's it.
And you could just tell from their tone, they have been kvetching and complaining about having to call games from an empty booth at Yankee Stadium all season long. Because they're going to Yankee Stadium for all games. Home games that are being played in front of them, but a road game, they're calling them off a monitor in the press box. And so they're just watching on TV from the stadium, which, I don't know, Bogues, why do you think that a lot of radio teams decided to do this? Was it because that's where their best, like, communication hookups were instead of doing it in a studio, or because they wanted some type of ambiance by being in a stadium?
My guess is space and connection. That's just set up cast from the easiest way to do it. And I think maybe as well the in-house TV feed coming from the other location would be better than, say, Susan and John sitting in a WFAN studio and literally watching the YES Network. I think they have more video feeds available to them in their home ballparks because of the normal setup that would be there. You know, sending the game back to Texas. Now the game coming from Texas, it works in that direction too.
Oh, John and Susan have been complaining about this setup all season long. I'm sure behind the scenes, just constantly complaining.
Now, I believe you have the option now to go to these neutral sites in the postseason. I've talked about it on the Mets side in our building. I don't know what John and Susan have decided or what they're allowed to do, but there is a possibility their nightmare ends in the playoffs if they follow the Yankees to Minnesota or Chicago, and then where would they go? Southern California.
Right. Petco Park or Dodger Stadium for the American League playoffs. Finally, this is my favorite clip. You're going to hear some rustling as this clip begins. I can't quite tell what it is, but apparently it's really irritating to both John and Susan, specifically Susan. And they start talking about how annoyed Susan is with everything, namely this sound. Now, this sound is heard a lot in baseball, so it's kind of weird that this annoys her this much. This is the sound of, I guess, baseball players in the box. Okay, this is baseball players. Hitters in the hitter's box. Let's play the clip.
I can hear it.
Yep, it drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. A lot of things are driving me crazy lately.
If you don't know what we're talking about, if you listen closely, you can hear the crunch of whatever that is on the field.
Yeah.
Little pebbles or whatever under the spikes. And you can hear that crunching noise.
And it's from the whoever is in the on-deck circle.
I mean, this is 20
minutes. So she hates
minutes.
Baseball.
This is 20 minutes of one game. 20 minutes of one game. And we have John and Susan discussing whether next year the Yankees should celebrate 100 years of losing the World Series. We have John and Susan complaining about watching the TV feed from an empty ballpark. And Susan complaining about pebbles underneath cleats in the on-deck circle.
Right. And not to mention, yesterday's one sound check we played, which I already forgot what it was, and there was another clip I had to eliminate where they couldn't stand that Toronto was challenging something because it was going to make the game longer because they had to sit there for so long.
Oh, I'm wrong.
Yes.
It just drives me crazy.
The other conversation piece that we had was John not knowing how the AL playoffs were going
to That's right.
I mean, I'm picking up our stat pack.
Guys, I didn't listen to the full 3 hours. That's one 20-minute run to Target. I mean, that's what I got.
That's an inning and a half. We got all of that. By the way, can we just play that third clip one more time, even if it's just the beginning? Because listen to how John laughs when he really is laughing at Susan. It's like, ha, 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 ha,
ha. I can hear it.
Yep, it drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy. A lot of things are driving me crazy lately.
There is a part of the laugh in there that's very Jody Mack-ish, where it's like...
It's a panting dog.
Do you hear glee in that laugh? Like he's happy something's bothering her? It sounds like he's enjoying her frustration a little too much.
It just drives me crazy. A lot of things are driving me crazy lately.
Crazy.
Well, that's because I think he is clearly entertained, or at least finds Susan's complaining a little bit charming, that she's probably always complaining about something and that she's finally complaining on the air, and he's like, I know this. I've been here.
It just drives me crazy. A lot of things are driving me crazy lately.
And that is your Sterling sound check. What's it going to be like when they actually make the playoffs? Wow. By the way, since Mraz swore off the Yankees have actually been very, very good. Bogues, do we have a win-loss record since Mraz swore off the Yankees and said he would not be a fan all this season because they ruined baseball for him?
If I'm remembering correctly, they immediately reeled off 10 consecutive wins.
10 straight? Then, I thought it was 8 straight. 10?
No, it was 10, and then they lost 2 in a row, and they won last night. So I believe they are 11-2 since Sean said their season was over.
11-2 since Mraz swore off his favorite team. 11-2. And this is kind of amazing because they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. And Mraz is not allowed to celebrate. He's not allowed to enjoy this. He's not allowed on social media to enjoy it because the D'Aliens are policing him. And he's not allowed to talk about it on this show because he has to just watch it from a media standpoint because he said, the season's over. I can't enjoy this team. I'm waving the white flag. I mean, Mraz, this has got to be absolutely eating you alive not to be able to celebrate 11-1.
Well,
I'm sorry. We don't have enough time.
Inside, it's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back to September the 23rd, 2013, 7 years ago, when the Giants fell to 0-3, and that meant that Mraz's dad, Bob the Deli Man, was in a bad way. Let's play the clip. Mr. Mraz, hardcore Giants fan, cannot be thrilled with the 0-3 start. And Mraz has detailed this via his Twitter feed. Mraz tweeted earlier on Sunday, "Thanks, Giants. Your performance today has caused my dad to no longer be in the mood to cook meatloaf. Now my season and dinner are both ruined." How bad, Mraz, was it for your pops?
He was really depressed. I've lived with my dad a long time, and he gets angry from here and there, but today set him over the edge, really set him over the edge. Curtis Painter threw an interception after all that had gone wrong, and the Giants were already down 38-0, and the man picked up a Windex bottle and chucked it against the wall.
And what he said after all he goes through during the week, dealing with your mom, dealing with the house, he just wants those 3 hours.
He said he gets 3 hours a week, the stress of driving back and forth to work, dealing with my mother. He asked for 3 hours, and the Giants can't even give him a decent curse word effort. He was a lot of explicitives flying. It was an ugly scene. The house was very post-mortem today after that Giant game.
And no meatloaf.
There was no meatloaf, and I was crushed by that. I had to go out and pay for my own dinner and buy some penny a la vodka. And just, I was pumped up for meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and the Giants' performance cost me a delicious dinner.
You did survive, though. You went out and bought yourself a huge pasta dinner.
Well, of course. I was surviving in advance, you know. But nonetheless, the meatloaf was ruined.
To put into perspective just how dark those days were, Curtis Painter had to come in to relieve Eli Manning against the Panthers in a 38-0 rout because the game was so out of hand. Eli had thrown only 119 yards in the game. The leading ball carrier for your New York Giants, Mraz, David Wilson, had 11 carries, 39 yards. The leading receivers of the day, Reuben Randall and Brandon Myers.
Oh!
This was one of the worst Giants seasons ever. This was a team that began the year 0-6. They had lost to the Cowboys in the opener against the Broncos in week 2, against the Panthers. You just heard the reaction to week 3. Bob the Deli Man threw a Windex bottle across the room. They had lost in Kansas City in week 4. Home to the Eagles in week 5, then at Chicago in week 6. They were 0-6. The game, the season was essentially over.
You know, we were at their first win that year, DA, and that was the first time I ever had asparagus in my life.
The following week after 0-6, they had a Monday night game against the Vikings. If I'm not mistaken, the Vikings were 1-5 coming into that game.
No, they were also 0-6.
It was two 0-6 teams on Monday Night Football, Vikings and Giants, and me and Merez went to that game and sat in the press box, and the media meal involved asparagus. Do you remember what you thought when you saw the asparagus out there?
Oh, yeah, why are we serving media members vegetables? But it was nice steaks. It was like filet mignons and asparagus, and I couldn't care less about the game yet. So all I kept telling you was, I can't believe I like asparagus. And I've had asparagus almost once a week since that date. It was really this date in Mraz history. It was unbelievable. And they served wings at halftime. It was an unbelievable spread. Team stunk. Spread was great.
Yeah, the Giants are known to be a class organization, treat people with and around the organization really well. They're always good with the media. And so the pregame meal spread was filet mignon. And then at halftime, there was like all-you-could-eat wings that were very good as well. And they do a really good job. But so we're pivoting now. October the 21st, 2013, was a turning point for your life because you decided, I actually like asparagus, and since then you've eaten it at least once a week.
It is. It's. I can't believe I'm on my seven-year anniversary of asparagus coming up, which is a big one for me. It really is.
The Giants began the year 0-6. They would actually win that game over the Vikings that Monday night, 23-7. They would finish the season, shockingly, at 7-9. What a rebound. They were 0-6 and actually won 7 of their final 10 games,
yeah,
which, if I'm not mistaken, bought Tom Coughlin like 2 more years.
Probably the worst thing that happened. They actually had a game at one point that year where they played for first place versus the Cowboys and lost. Tony Romo had a big moment late in the fourth quarter. They went from 0-6 to playing for first place in a bad NFC East. And by the way, little trivia question. Do you know who started at quarterback for that bad Viking team that night?
Yes. That was Josh Freeman.
Yes.
Josh Freeman. Josh Freeman. I remember how ridiculous it was because, boy, who was the Viking starter at the time that got injured and they were such a disaster? Who would it have been? The 2013 Vikings.
I don't know. I guess I just assumed that Freeman was their starter from the beginning.
No, they had to pick him up off the street, I believe, because somebody got injured. And remember, as soon as that game was over, did he get kicked to that weird spring football league that played in Coney Island?
I called one of his games in Brooklyn, where the Brooklyn Cyclones play in Coney Island.
The 2013 Vikings were coached by Leslie Frazier.
I think Matt Cassel was their quarterback to start the year.
You're exactly right. They had signed Matt Cassel in a 2-year, $7.5 million deal. Oy! Oh my goodness. I knew you wanted to go down memory lane about the 2013 Giants and the 2013 Minnesota Vikings. I knew you wanted it, and I brought it to you. Ridgely mentions, D.A., if you happen to flip on the A's-Dodgers game on ESPN last night after the Nuggets win, you might have caught Chipper Jones talking about his walk-up song, Crazy Train, which he took from Larry Walker. He also mentioned several players asked if they could also use it. So, I don't know what this says. I don't know. I mean, look, it's a good song. It's a hard-driving classic rock song. You're rarely going to flip off your classic rock station if Crazy Train is on by Ozzy. And Ozzy is one of the all-time greats. But we had a long conversation about Crazy Train yesterday because I just couldn't believe, in Las Vegas, this brand new sparkling stadium, which is just a sight to behold, where everything is updated and futuristic. Everything is better than the last go-round. And yet they were still playing the same music as you would get at Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, 0.2, CO times 3, whatever that stadium ended up being called last time around. And I'm like, why can't we update the playlist as well? But this could be a self-fulfilling prophecy where it's played so much at sports arenas that players really like it or think they really like it. And thus, it just perpetuates a cycle of never getting out of playing the same 7 songs from 1980 that are played at every single sporting event. 855-212-4CBS. I mean, look, it's a good song, don't get me wrong, but I've heard it at every football game I've been at for 30 years. I just feel like you might want to diversify the portfolio. That's all I'm saying.
I got it. They say all aboard at the beginning. I never knew that.
What'd you think they said?
I don't know. It's probably whatever you thought the 21st of September was. I think I always just thought they said, bah, bah, bah.
Well, it makes far more sense that before the lyric or before a song called Crazy Train, they would say all aboard. For me, how was I supposed to know a song about September was about a specific night in September, the 21st night of September, in fact?
You're just supposed to know because every 21st of September, all anybody does is play the song or post about the 21st of September.
So you know how if you talk about something, your phone listens to it, or Google hears you, or your laptop listens, or the smart speaker, and then immediately you are given that advertisement for that product or something like that?
Yes.
Yesterday, on my feed, I had a story pop up about why it was named or why they sang about the 21st of September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, this was also passed along to me by a listener as well, so I can't say that it's all AI, but the listener was not Allen Iverson. A listener passed this to me, and then also, I think, my Twitter feed was listening. And it turns out that there was a songwriter who was employed to help write the song September. They had the beat down, but they didn't know what the lyrics were going to be. And she came in 1978 to write this song with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they just had the beat. And they finally got around to calling it September, and so she was trying to help them along with that first verse. And she said they went through every date in September to see what flowed best. And so they did. It's the fourth evening of September, the fifth evening, the 10th evening, the 12th. And finally, they just said the 21st evening of September flowed the best, sounded the best. So they just went with it. It has no other significance besides it sounded the best as they wrote the song and went through it producing it.
Oh, that stinks. You kind of hope that it would be a personal connection.
Of course. And she says she gets the question all the time. 21st night of September.
I don't even know if they say of. I think it's just 21st night, September.
Well, that's exactly right, which is why I never knew what they were saying there. Do you remember 21st night, September? Again, nobody says dates like that. Nobody has ever been like, Mraz, could you imagine?
What a song.
It's such a great song. It's such a great song. Do you remember 21st night of September? But I had no idea what they were saying. Do you remember when we were something in September? I had no idea.
Ba-da-ba-ba, September.
Do you remember something, something, September?
Now you'll never forget. Now, see, remember how I always say you always learn things on the DA show? You will now never forget, and that was a day you learned something.
It's true. Unfortunately, I didn't learn it because of the show. I learned it on Twitter because multiple people were posting about it. But it's true. We definitely discussed it, and then it forced me to learn about it as a listener and AI passed along the story about it.
Probably because he's been learned things.
Mraz, do you still get insecure about the size of your eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, one eye, I still get it a lot of people going, your one eye gets funky, but it's only at times for some reason. It's not, I don't have a consistent lazy eye. It chooses to be lazy, I think, when I'm being lazy. I don't really know. Maybe it's a lazy gouge.
Is it possible that it's due to puffiness with sodium, that just one of your eye sockets gets puffier when you eat a lot of salt?
I never really thought about that, but maybe I should consult a doctor. Is it possible that, you know, maybe after a lot of Chinese food or a big hamburger or something like that, that my eye gets a little delayed? Perhaps, yeah, but it's really, it like shrinks, it grows. There's definitely something going on. All this while I have 20/20.
That sounds serious.
It shrinks. It grows. Mraz's left eyeball
no show
has
tunes.
A life of its own. It's actually going to be picking against Mraz next year in the college football games.
It's a Met fan. His one eye is a Met fan. The rest of him loves the Yankees.
When your eye goes crazy, big and small, do any of your other body parts, like do your feet swell up, like 1 foot, do you get a little hitch and you're giddy up?
I was born in the dark. As we're talking about this, my eye is starting to water. You know how like you get that feeling? No, I don't think anything else on my body grows basically with like either the excitement or the rush the way my eye does. Like that.
Well, one thing.
Oh, that's
sure,
a shame.
Yeah. Oh, stop it, you idiots. Which leads us into Stun to a News. No, no, you know what I mean. Like that's it. My eye pulsates. But like sometimes it's fine. I could have a conversation with you for 4 days, and then just one day I'll just be driving in a car and somebody go, man, your eye shrunk. It's weird.
Common thing to say.
I almost think you should go to the ER. Don't even wait to make a regular appointment. This sounds bad.
How are your feet doing in terms of the swelling when it comes to eating all your salty foods? Because we've seen you swell up like a soup dumpling when you've eaten a lot of sliders.
I have, but I would say I've managed my salt intake pretty well since the White Castle debacle here on the show. There are times I have a salt problem and I sit back and I just need to lay down, but I know now usually I'm not big on salt when I'm out, so the rush doesn't get there. So if I lay down after having a lot of salt, which I tend to do a lot, put my feet up, the rush comes back to my stomach, my moobs, and my head, and it usually keeps away from feet, I guess you want to call it, inflation. So I haven't had a lot of feet inflation lately. I've kept my feet healthy.
So when you have a lot of salt, you actually have to take a breather. It's like an alarm goes off inside your mind. There's an alert, and you're like, I need to get off my feet and lay down.
It's kind of like watching your gas tank and your car go down or up. If I know I've gone up too much, if I filled too much with gas, if I filled too much with the salt, my body clicks into, if you will, airplane mode real quick. And I lay it down. We won't waste any of the battery, but we'll relax things. It'll cool the phone a little bit. It'll cool me down.
Pretzel bun?
It's amazing that this body's still ticking. It's just amazing. As James Ward once famously said, if you treat your body like a dumpster, sometimes the dumpster fights back. It sounds like there's all types of hard wiring that goes kooky all the time for you. I mean, you know,
but
not
you listen
only
to your body, D.A. You listen. I listen to it. I know what it needs when it needs it.
Well, here's the thing. You might be listening to your body, but your body seems to be telling you things, maybe screaming at you not to do them. Like if you need to lay down and go into airplane mode, maybe you shouldn't be eating that much salt. If on the air, you have an oopsie. Maybe you shouldn't be putting that into your body, which causes that. If there's a situation where your mother-in-law has to throw you a towel down the stairwell, maybe there's something that you're eating that you shouldn't be.
That's true. And there was a point this weekend when I was in Hershey Park where I had nothing but dessert until dinner time. And by 5 o'clock, my head was throbbing. And I knew, I listened to my body. I said, I haven't had any protein or anything like that. It's been all cookies and cream, basically, for 9 hours. And I had to listen to my body. And I shut it down. And I told Danielle, she needs to drive to the restaurant now. And I need to take a nap. And then once I napped, I was fine. I got a good, healthy dinner in there. Plenty of, obviously, starches with the French fries, the
grilled
chicken, all of that. And then I was good to go. So you listen to your body.
So you ate dessert all day, got lightheaded, got a splitting headache, couldn't drive, couldn't operate machinery, and then went to dinner and ate French fries.
Well, the French fries came on the side. There was still lettuce and tomato on my sandwich. But I had a chocolate Hershey croissant.
Did you have Diet Coke too?
No, a chocolate Hershey croissant, chocolate milk, two Hershey's bars, then a shake with nothing but big peanut butter cups in it. That was lunch. And then I had a big roll of cinnamon bun bread. And then I had a big cookies and cream thing, too, as well. And that was my day up until about 6 o'clock when I finally had some grilled chicken and some French fries.
Well, it sounds like you're well on your way to losing that 100 pounds by Taylor's second birthday.
No. What am I? Okay. So now people go to Hershey Park and they don't have candy all day. I mean, who does that?
Not like
it's
you.
America.
Not that amount of candy.
What do you do? You're in the sweetest place. Of course you eat the candy. What are you going to do?
You could have had three of those six things and called it a day.
What do you think?
Matter
chocolate
the 2 days you were there.
Romaine all day? I mean, what do you think is going to go on there?
Also, by the way, Mraz,
that might have been your cheat day and many people's cheat day for a lot, but you have cheat weeks. You have cheat months. You basically cheat the entire football season. Years. You're like, well,
right, he has non-cheat days.
Week one of the NFL, I guess I'm done until January.
That's not always true. Sometimes I only have like two taquitos. I won't go with six. I manage it. I'm like Good Tom job. Brady with the Bucks. I'm a game manager.
You're a wonderfully charismatic fellow. You're delightfully funny. You are
delightful.
You are.
What do you set me up for?
No, you're a very funny person, but you lack all types of self-discipline. I mean, your self-discipline is just in the crapper in every single thing that you do.
You think I don't know that? You think it's easy to walk in these shoes?
It sounds like you don't.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. You played off like you think you have this all under control because you take a nap when your body shuts down from too much salt.
You got to take wins when you could get them, all right? I'm kind of like the Miami Dolphins this year. I know that I'm not going to be able to control myself if somebody goes, hey, you want Chinese food tonight? Sure, I'll have 74 dumplings. But I also know that when I need to shut it down, I'll shut it down, and then I'll reopen when I'm ready to reopen. And that's how I handle my body. Waffle cones on me?
Okay, so it's like a restaurant during coronavirus. When we want to reopen, we'll be able to reopen.
Yes.
When we see we've got everything cleared away.
Exactly, but I still exercise. That's the key.
And what did you do yesterday?
I got in a gym yesterday. I did some squats, I did some shoulder presses, and I did the Stairmaster for about 25 minutes.
And then how'd you celebrate? Wendy's drive-thru or Arby's?
You want cheese? Come get your cheese.
No, yesterday was a flatbread with Everroast chicken, lettuce, tomato, and light mayonnaise. Okay. And then for dinner, I had a zero-point dinner. I had I had a salad for dinner last. I did. Black beans, a little ground chicken, some fat-free cheddar, and some lettuce.
All right.
Yesterday was a win.
Did you plow through a bag of peanut M&Ms this morning yet?
No, but I wasn't going to lie. Before this segment, I thought about, because I have a million Hershey bars upstairs, I was going to go get one out of the fridge, but I guess I can't now out of principle.
Yeast?
Accountability.
All right, AB has our headline this morning. Bogues, tell us all about last night's Game 3 victory by the Nuggets.
All of this is sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. The Denver Nuggets controlled Game 3 of the Western Conference Final from the second quarter until early in the fourth. A 20-point lead, though, nearly disappeared as the Lakers went on a 19-2 spurt, but they got no closer than 3 points.
Murray gets a pick from Nikola Jokic, high left side, takes a long three, jumpers up and in! The Nuggets lead at 111-99 in game number 3, and Hastings, this thing is over!
And another mic bites the dust.
Engineering?
Kosmicki continues to do this, just explode the amps in his Comrex box, or however he's calling it. That's incredible.
He's almost like a guy in a rock band who destroys the guitar at the end of his set. He's like, the game's all around, he doesn't hit it anymore. He just breaks it on his desk in like celebration.
The microphone. He takes that mic stand and throws it through the window, knocks his color analyst over the head with it.
Jamal Murray, 28 points and 12 assists last night. That was his second late three that stopped the Laker rally.
By the way, what's going on in the Rocky Mountains? Because we have Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and Jason Kosmicki, voice of the Nuggets, and each one of them just roars with every three-pointer by Jamal Murray. Call the Denver Fire Department.
The Nuggets win last night 114-106. They're now down 2-1. Just the third loss of these playoffs for the Lakers. LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 57 points, but no one else scored more than 12. The Heat and Celtics finally play their game 4 tonight. Game 3 was Saturday. Boston won that and trails 2-1. John Gruden and Sean Payton reportedly fined $100,000 for not wearing their masks on the sidelines Monday night. Their teams also docked $250,000. The NFL has now handed out $1.75 million in mask fines for week 2. And the Falcons will begin having fans.
That's so much money. Nearly $2 million in mask fines?
Well, each one is what, $400,000, $350 because it's $100 for the coach and then $250K for the team, and that's where it really adds up. So we've got five coaches times four. Man. What is that again? $350,000.
I mean, we could all retire based just on if we collected NFL coaching fines for a week.
The Falcons will begin having fans October 11th. They have not yet set an actual capacity percentage. They'll do a dry run of their protocols this Sunday because 500 family, friends, and associates will be in the building. Pac-12 presidents and chancellors are meeting again tomorrow. They are expected to finally make a final decision on playing football next month. If they say yes, we could get a 7-game schedule starting Halloween or 6 games the following weekend. Their title game would be December 19th. First, Notre Dame and Wake Forest were moved from Charlotte to the Deacon's home field. Now, the game postponed because of 7 positive COVID-19 tests on the Irish roster, 13 total players right now in quarantine. And the NCAA has approved a 16-team spring playoff for FCS football. 24 teams are usually involved. It's 11 automatic bids, 5 at-larges. The title game would be between May 14th and the 16th. A lot of clinching in baseball last night. Nobody as dramatic as Cleveland.
Here's the 2-2 pitch from Ruiz to Ramirez. A swing and a drive to deep right center field. Away, back, and gone.
Cool.
It's a game winner. It's a playoff clincher.
How do you feel about fireworks in empty stadiums?
I don't love it. I don't love fireworks after games. I feel like fireworks should be more special than just after like a regular season game or a home run or what have you. But I will say that the atmospheres of these baseball games are so dead. It is so quiet and weird and awkward that I guess I could overlook it just because it gives us a little bit of sound in the background.
Yeah, it pumps up the
team. Yeah, it just seems like a waste.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it might be done for television purposes as well.
Nothing will be worse than the Knicks down 3-0 in a series with Amari Stoudemire and then shooting off the streamers when they won a game 4 to stay
plumb. Dropping confetti because they're down 3-1 in the series.
Celebrate good times.
That highlight was Tom Hamilton.
We are the champions, my friends. We're only down 3-1.
Jose Ramirez, a game-ending 3-run homer, a 5-3 win in 10 over the White Sox to clinch. The Dodgers claim the West and the NL's top seed with a 7-2 win over the A's and the Padres' 4-2 loss to the Angels. The Cubs got their spot when the Phillies lost 2 in Washington, and the Braves thumped the Marlins 11-1 to win their third NL East title in a row. WNBA semifinals, the Storm took Game 1 from the Lynx, 88-86, and the Aces fought off the Sun, 83-75. That best of five is now 1-1. And now, prepare to be stunned and grossed out.
Woo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So, who's made a better save than Anton Hudobin recently? Uh-huh. Officials in a Vietnamese town, that's who. The Vietnam Directorate of Market Surveillance celebrating the seizure of 324,000 used condoms. And I can't stress that first word enough. They were about to be cleaned and resold in a local market. They also found thousands of these bad boys already cleaned and repackaged.
Certainly
all of this
boys.
In an apartment rented by a woman who told investigators she got a monthly shipment and it was her job alone to clean, dry, and make them look new. So there you go, guys. Take it away and don't get fired.
Look, we all think we've got a tough job at some point in time. And some of us listening right now, you guys do have a much tougher job than I do.
Pete
when
definitely
I see,
does.
When I see the construction workers on a hot August day pouring pavement, I'm like, damn, huffing those fumes, damn.
when I see garbage collectors, especially around like Chinatown and places in Manhattan where the garbage is overflowing and running out of it, I'm like, damn, that's tough. When I see teachers that are dealing with 35 kid classes or hospital workers that are dealing with, you know, people coming in with all crazy types of things sticking in their arms and sticking out of their heads and, you know, some type of disaster on the way, I'm like, that is hard. There's a lot of really difficult jobs out there. Ain't nothing worse than cleaning out prophylactics. Ain't nothing ever going to be... Who's ever listening right now, you just... No matter whatever happened in your life, no matter how bad things ever got, educationally, with your family, with your parents, with your loved one, no matter what, just remember, at least I don't have to clean used condoms for a living. Just remember that you don't ever have to go there. And that, remember when I was talking about yesterday, I had to kind of click my mind out of negativity? That's the type of thing that I'm now going to use. The moment I start getting down because there's some type of crazy news event or forest fires or hurricanes or protest, that to me is the win of all wins. And I think we should all remember this.
Carrying that thing around.
I was just going to say, this now is going to be a new rallying cry any time, which is almost every day. My wife has to complain about something that has to do with marrying me and living with me. I am just going to give the motto, it could be worse. You could have this person's job. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the key to a good, healthy marriage, boys.
Guys, you know, I don't want to argue, but this one might have the second worst job in this dynamic. Whose job is getting the used condoms in the first place?
Well, you use a fork or something to pick them up.
Who's the collector?
Yeah, like retrieval might be worse than cleaning. I'm not sure. I'm not going to investigate, but I think it's on the table.
Well, and is retrieving person also the same person that packages it? This could be multiple jobs. You know, talk about jobs needed here.
Yeah, look, it's Small Business Week, so I think we should support this woman.
I think we should rescue her. How do we get her to the States? Can we adopt her somehow and save her from this?
Wow, for bankruptcy.
Let's also try to make sure that we don't purchase these, that these are not back on the open market. I mean, could you imagine?
These are not the ones that USC is named after. Let's just leave it like that.
I think it also, I mean, let's just clap it up for the nation of Vietnam. They are practicing safe techniques. I mean, there's at
it's
least
true.
That. Now, I would also argue, though, they might be safe, but are they littering? Or are these coming off the side of highways? Because we think the littering story yesterday, and that's a rough litter situation.
Well, I wonder if maybe somebody's picking through the garbage and
Again,
collecting
them. Retrieval is the worst job here.
Yeah, retrieval is tougher than cleaning and sanitizing.
Piece of corn on the cob. There's a Jimmy hat. Okay, interesting. It's a condom.
You thought your Wednesday was going to be tough going to work today? Mm-mm. At least you don't have this job in Vietnam. Whee! Imagine going to that secondhand store. Okay, got some old hats from the 80s, an old pair of Timberland boots. Oh, here's the rack of used condoms. Are these on sale? Is this a blue day where it's the blue tag is 50% off at this Goodwill store?
855-212-4227.
We'll get to your epic fail coming up here on the show. Richard tweets, I just had a thought. Could we forego the 12 DAs of Christmas and just make December the month of Mraz? The Quaker Oats guy is an all-timer. It was an all-timer, but remember that we have the Year of the Buffoon, which is essentially a 15-minute montage annually of all of the crazy, idiotic things the Mraz said over the course of the calendar year. So basically, December is the month of Mraz. Patrick tweets, DA, thanks for the great segment on mental health and flipping the script on fear and negativity. Those skills are the key to opening so many doors for yourself. I'm not sure why we still tend to dismiss it or even stigmatize it. It's probably fear, for one. We had Nick Walenda here on the show of the Walenda family, and as a daredevil, a thrill seeker, as a guy that scales volcanoes, you know, he knows a lot about facing fear and going to negative places if you allow yourself to. So it was a great conversation. If you're so inclined, I highly encourage you to listen to it on our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show, and you'll see the Nick Wallenda interview from today, which I think you'll really enjoy. Mariana tweets, Mraz having to put his feet up after too much sodium, eating huge amounts of sweets, uncontrollable food urges. Mraz, are you pregnant? Sounds a lot like it. Speaking of, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Here's what Mraz says happens when he has too much of a sodium intake. In fact, his eyes end up becoming one size too big. Here's your epic fail.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz, do you still get insecure about the size of your eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, one eye, I still get it a lot of people going, your one eye gets funky, but it's only at times for some reason. It's not, I don't have a consistent lazy eye. It chooses to be lazy, I think, when I'm being lazy. I don't really know. Maybe it's a lazy gouge.
Is it possible that it's due to puffiness with sodium, that just one of your eye sockets gets puffier when you eat a lot of salt?
Oh, I'm so full, my belly, I pigged out. Perhaps, yeah, but it's really, it like shrinks, it grows. There's definitely something going on. All this while I have 20/20
vision. That sounds serious.
It shrinks, it grows.
And that magical feeling pulsates through the shaft.
How are your feet doing in terms of the swelling when it comes to eating all your salty foods? Because we've seen you swell up like a soup dumpling when you've eaten a lot of sliders.
No, I have. But I would say I've managed my salt intake pretty well since the White Castle debacle here on the show. There are times I have a salt problem and I sit back and I just need to lay down. But I know now usually I'm not big on salt when I'm out, so the rush doesn't get there. So if I lay down after having a lot of salt, which I tend to do a lot, put my feet up.
Mm-hmm. I like stuffing.
The rush comes back to my stomach, my moobs, and my head, and it usually keeps away from feet, I guess you want to call it, inflation. So I haven't had a lot of feet inflation lately. I've kept my feet healthy.
So when you have a lot of salt, you actually have to take a breather. It's like an alarm goes off inside your mind. There's an alert, and you're like, I need to get off my feet and lay down.
I'm not a pickle eater. It's kind of like watching your gas tank and your car go down or up. If I know I've gone up too much, if I filled too much with gas, if I filled too much with the salt, my body clicks into, if you will, airplane mode real quick. And I lay it down. We won't waste any of the battery, but we'll relax things. It'll cool the phone a little bit. It'll cool me down.
Pretzel bun?
It's amazing that this body's still ticking.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz is truly a medical miracle. Carla tweets, DA, loved what you guys said about letting negativity and hatred get a hold of your life. Don't let it happen. Preach it, bro. Cigar City Capo tweets, thanks for bringing on Nick Wallenda and letting him speak on fear. The mind is a battlefield. We have to reach for the best weapons to win the war. Your post-interview comments were spot on. Grateful to the mothership for being a beacon of hope in darkness. And Craig tweets, loving the positive vibe of the show this morning. Also, we should all make time to go fishing. Agreed. It is why I do it, to clear my mind. I actually really love actually catching fish as well. But, you know, you could just find things like taking a hike, taking a walk, listening to music that makes you feel good, reading a book or a memoir or a poem that makes you feel good, thinking about things that make you feel good, flipping through a photo album that makes you feel good, just clearing space in your mind from a lot of the negativity. Nick Wallenda was great in talking about this. And I find this to be really important right now, really super important, which is why when Skip Bayless took a shot at Dak Prescott for admitting that he was not in a good mental spot and going through depression, to me, it was really irresponsible. Because today, you know, it doesn't take much to look at the news or to deal with the virus or to deal with all these types of things that have hit us in 2020 and get down and get negative. I mean, it happens to me as well. And you have to remember that you get to control your thoughts. It is not that your mind has control over you. You get to control it. And it takes time and it takes effort and it takes labor, but you can do it. And it's important because a lot of people can be in a really bad mental space right now. So Nick Wallenda's interview was great. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it in the podcast. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Rest in peace, Gale Sayers. The Mothership disconnects.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.